Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And the man working the sound effects is my co-host, Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up?
And tonight we have two very special guests with us. We have Mast and Gioffo, who work at Thrillbent, creating comic books, most notably digital comic books, and they work on the Pat's Arena, the Walking Pandas, and the Panda Show.
And they're joining us live from France.
Yes, we are. Okay. So just quickly want to thank you both again for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Even with the early hours. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and the watchers live.
Okay. So I'm Mast. I'm working with Gioffo. Yes, we're working together. We've been doing digital comics for Thrillbent, called Pax Arena, The Walking Pandas, The Panda Show. We've been doing very specific digital comics recreated for the screens. And recently we've been recruited by Marvel to work on their digital comics line, the Marvel Infinite Comics. Geoff?
Yeah, I think you said it all. So, you know, I don't think I need to add anything, except that working for Marvel is really cool, as you can guess, and working on their new line, new Infinite line, is really a great opportunity for us to both expand this type of medium and to work for Marvel.
I think. Okay. I just want to add, because Geoff is too modest, he won an award at the Stampton Comics Festival for Vic Boone. It was three issues that were published in 2011, I think. It was really, really great stuff, so just because.
Thank you.
No, it's sad. Oh, sorry, Tim.
Oh, yes. So, let's see. Let me pull up the questions I had for both you gentlemen. I guess, first, let us know, how exactly did you both get your start in comic books?
Geoff, do you want to start?
We both started when we were kids, actually, and then drawing has always been a part of our lives. And then thanks to the internet and forums, we had a chance to to meet each other, and so we met in when we were 17, and we started to do, you know, stuff for fun, and but a lot of production, and actually it became more and more not professional but serious, and so it came naturally in a way. And so doing comics has always been in one of our purpose, and so we while we continue to go to school, and we always kept in mind of doing comic books, so it has always been a goal, a purpose for us. So I don't know what else. And so yeah, we had various chances, and so here we are now.
Okay.
All right. Well, following up on that question, how did you get your start in the digital comics realm? Because most kids start scribbling on paper. So how did you guys get started doing digital stuff?
The thing is, we were born during, you know, we always did mostly web comics and digital comics since the beginnings, because we were born on the web, on the internet. That's where we started. We did paper stuff and everything, but we always, that's, you know, for us, comics is mostly digital comics, you know. We read comic books, Spider-Man, X-Men on print comics, but what we did and what we still want to do is digital comics, stuff for the web, for internet. So it's really hard to say. The thing is, it evolved a bit, because at the beginning we were scribbling on paper, but now we've got the tablets and welcome Cintiq.
Cintiq. That's fine.
Okay. So it's not even anymore paper. It's just screen on screen, screens everywhere. So.
And this is really the apparition of the iPad, who help us go through that way of doing the more for the digital rather than paper. It's really this apparition of the tablets that make us think that there was actually something to do here, and that could be really interesting and develop something here. And so this is also one of the big reason why we decided to try it on digital. And then appeared Balak, who created Turbo Media, which is really the medium made for tablet for screens. And it's history. But yeah, this is really the apparition of the iPad, and that made us take a choice towards the digital medium.
Because before the iPad, you had only one choice if you wanted to make money out of your artwork. It was, you have to do print comics if you want to live. So now you can just say, okay, people buy on the App Store, buy on Android tablets, on the Google Play. So you just have new choices that we didn't have. You know, it's been, I don't know, 3-4 years. I think the iPad came in 2010, so it's
something like that. Yeah.
Not that long ago.
We have, it feels like it's been longer.
Yeah, it feels like.
It looks so, but it hasn't actually. I think it's iPad 3 right now, not 4 yet. So it's really recent.
It's very recent.
It's just the iPhone I'm thinking about. Yeah, iPad is more recent.
Yeah, but. Before, it's true that before the iPad, people wanted already to do digital comics for the smartphones, but it didn't work really well because
of the small screen.
Yeah, it's too small screen. So you just can do one panel at a time if you want to make it work. So iPad was like, you know.
So was that sort of like the tipping point where yourselves and maybe some other creators really saw a future for digital comics?
Definitely.
You know, with the portability of the iPad and the tablets that came after it.
It was like, you know, it was really when we first heard about Apple going to do this tablet, this book digital book that we could read, and it was like magic to us. And we were like, okay, maybe we could use something like that to get more people to read our stuff, because they can just, you know, go in their bed and read the tablet. They can't bring their computer on, you know, in the beds, but the tablet they can. So that was interesting. And when it came out, it was like, I remember I was just, oh God damn it. Thank you. I'm sure I can
stop with that. So, what I like most about digital comics is, like you said, the easy access that the reader gets from it, because like you said, with the print comics, you have to go to a store, and you know, in some locations you might not even have a store that's local to you. You may have to drive more than 30 minutes to get to a nearest store.
Yeah, right.
And with digital, you can just, all you need is web space, and you can just put it out there and let people go and download it at their leisure.
I know the digital market in the United States is really different from France, because you don't have a lot of comic shops, not anymore. So I know in France we really help comic shops to stay, because it's really hard for them in France too. But we help, the government have helped them, mm-hmm. people help them so they can survive, because it's not easy. And if in the USA, you can.
It's still not easy for the comic book shops here. There's always comic book shops going out of business here as well.
Yes, that's what I heard as well. It seems we are luckier than you for people who like to print comics.
But that's right.
I know you don't have. Also, you can find comics anywhere except in comic shops, right? Can you find comics outside of
a comic book store?
Yes.
It's rare.
Rare. Local bookstores like Barnes & Noble will have them in like the section where the magazines are, like all the sports magazines and car magazines. They'll have a section set aside for comic books.
Right. Once in a while, you'll find a convenience store that has a comic book rack, or a drugstore that has a comic book rack, but it's few and far in between. It's not as simple. So we're definitely seeing the same trend, which is comic book stores being harder to find. There's something of a generational gap between myself and Tim Dog. I'm definitely still in the print mode. I go to the comic book shop every week. But it's probably because I'm in New York, you know, like living in a big city, it's a little easier for me. I can pick and choose which shop I go to. I'm not limited to just one. So I may have to go a little bit out of my way, but I can go and find it. I'm sympathetic to folks who only have one shop. And what if it doesn't, you know, cater to their taste? What if it's only superhero stuff and they want to buy something else and that store just can't afford to order it? So, you know, this digital thing, I still call it a digital thing. I'm betraying my age a little bit here. The digital thing is still, for me, is still a kind of a new and burgeoning. It's still something new that I have to tap into. It probably doesn't help that I don't have an iPad yet, but soon.
Yeah, that does it right there. You don't have an iPad. You don't have one of these.
Right. So as soon as I get one, I mean, I have my MacBook. So, you know, worst comes to
worst.
Exactly, you know, like I have my super duper MacBook Pro here, so.
But like Matt said, you know, it's not as convenient looking at into the bed late at night to read.
Exactly, or the toilet.
Or in the toilet.
So yeah.
So.
No, that's the thing. The thing that scares me a little, because 90% of the comics comes from the States, so if. Because like a kid from now, if he doesn't go to the comic shop, he can't find comics, so he can start to read comics, print comics, actually. That's something that digital can bring. It's wherever you are, you can find comics. You just have to go on Google and you can have your digital comics. your Spider-Man, your last X-Men, you can have them. And you can, you know, find them by chance or, you know, just luck. It's just, if you don't have a comic shop in your town, how do you do it? You can't read comics at all. So it's a reader that we lost.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's get into, explain to the readers what storyboarding is.
Jeff, do you want to talk? Are you still alive?
All right. So the storyboard part is, it's actually, it's the most important part of making a digital comics, Chobo comics. Because it's like being a director for a movie, you know, because we really set which panels is going to appear here or there. And because what is great with the Chobo comics is that the format isn't limited anymore. You know, even if you have your screen, which has a specific format, when you do digital, you don't. You can do whatever you want. You can expand or reduce your panels. You're not limited anymore. While with a paper, you are limited in the format. And so we really need to make tests and to see what works and what doesn't work. So the storyboard parts is really the core to the Chobo comics and help us create a narration, because it's always about narration. In the end, the thing is, we still want to tell a story. So you don't tell it by doing n'importe quoi. And so yeah, we really need the storyboard to set the rules and play with the effect that you can only do in the Chobo comics. And so yeah, so that's basically the main thing to do. Without that, it would be a web comics. And it's really interesting because so far a lot of people, some people have started to do Chobo comics, but we can see that they are from the paper. And so when they do a digital comics, they do it the paper way. And so you still see a panel after another and another and another. And it's not, it hasn't any effect that we can bring with the Chobo comics. So this is really, really an important part to do when you do a Chobo comics.
And just to add, for those that may not know what a Turbo comic is, that's another, I guess maybe over here in the States, we call them the guided native?
Or... You've got a lot of names for it. since 2010 in France, we call them Turbo Media or Turbo Comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically everything that's like Marvel, Infinite Comics, DC Squared, Thrillbent Comics, the kind of comics you can read on screens and that are created on screens sideways, that, you know, that's what we call Turbo comics. So that's, I know, it's basically in France, since we call them like that since 2 or 3 years, we tend to, we don't know how else to call them.
But. Yeah, I don't think there's one set, you know, naming convention for it, because like you said, I've heard it called a couple of things too. Turbo comics, that's the first time I've heard it called that. I know most
here.
Of the time I just refer to it as the native guide comic.
Yes.
Or like the guided view or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Guided view.
Guided view native. Yes.
Right. That was my that was my understanding of the name. So it's interesting that you mentioned that you can tell who did it on paper first and just, you know, and I guess basically scanned it in and then starting to move the panels around.
Yeah.
using you know, whatever software they happen to be using. So basically my question is, What's the difference, really? How does it just make it look? Is it in your eyes an inferior product, or is it just better to do it, you know, straight on the computer so that it doesn't look like it was ever on paper?
The better thing to do is there is no right or wrong way, but the thing is, since it's made for the screen, and so it's really the animation between each screens, because we don't call them pages, we call them screens. So even if you have a screen with 8 panels and only one movement in one panels, we'll then call it a second screen. And so between each screens, you really need to have a computer so you can see the effect if they are working. But then once the effect are created, you can do all your drawings on paper and then put it on Photoshop or another software. And then once you've got your effect, it's okay to do it on paper, on digitally. But for the storyboard, it's best to do it on the computer, because you can see really quickly if the effect works or if it doesn't.
Can you name some examples of the software you use to do the Turbo Comics in?
You want Photoshop?
Yeah, okay, right.
And the Studio Flash.
The funny thing is, Balak, who created the Turbo Media, did it on Flash, and then people thought that you could only do Turbo Media on Flash, and it's not true at all, because we only work through JPEG. It's Photoshop, basic Photoshop, and working on JPEG and sample JPEG. And what you really need to make it work is just a software or a guided view, actually, you know. And we use the Windows view, and it's perfectly okay, because we don't have any effect between each screen. And so it's really simple. You don't need any specific software to do Turbo Media. What you need is to work on your narration. But it's the same thing when you work on paper, or when you work for the movies. It's really your it's a director stuff. But you don't need any specific software to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious if there was anything like specific out there for it.
No. But we got some French guys or who can guess even American one, who tried to develop a specific software for this Turbo Media, but you don't, or Turbo Comics, but you don't really need one at first. It will be easier with one, of course, but what you really need is your way of telling stories, rather than anything.
I mean, you still need a tech guy that is able to put the episode online. But if you want to do one, you can even do it on drawing on paper and scan it and make it after. You just don't need any software except for the tech part. For the technology part, you need somebody who's able to put it online the way you want. You can still, you can use the basic way if you don't have money, don't know anybody, and you want to make one tomorrow. You can just upload your JPEGs on Facebook, and with Facebook you can just forgot the name of the, the keyboard, the right and left arrows. To just go back and forth in the comics.
So, okay.
Almost like a flip book.
Yes.
It's old fashioned animation, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
of. It's just a goddamn slideshow, that's all.
Right.
See, there's no magic here. It's just slideshow, basic slideshow, and we try to make the most of it.
Right. So, just very quickly before I think Tim may move on, but I had a quick question about, the storyboarding and how and kind of a follow-up question with panel layouts. I'm kind of old-fashioned in that I love panel layouts on the comic book page and how they sort of draw your eye from the top left to the bottom right, you know, or maybe go in a Z formation, you know, the way your eye is drawn across the page. Now, how do you find digital comics? I mean, how do you guys lay out your digital comics to do something similar or different? You know, like how does that affect how your storytelling works?
On digital comics, the way we do it, timing and the speed and the element of surprise is used to a greater effect.
Right.
I think when we do it, it's really different from paper. It's not the same storytelling. I think it's rather intense and full of suspension, because you can't see the next picture, so you know you have the surprise every single time. I can surprise you every single screen. So that's something different.
Oh no, that's a huge difference. That, you know, it's I guess what I was getting at is, what's the real main difference in storytelling technique from paper to digital that you guys have really found and that you might be exploiting to make it a different experience?
There's a lot.
You see, for instance, with Turbo Comics, you can really create a tension. And for instance, we could spend like 5 screen with a guy without any background, you know, and it could be a guy lost in a cave, or I don't know, and we can really play with this guy who walks in the dark, and you don't know where he is and what he's doing. And then in the 6th screen, you can put the whole background, but you can really play, you know, to create tension. While when you do it in a paper way, you will need it will be much more difficult to create the same tension. And for instance, one of the best way so far that we have done, it would be the introduction of the episode 3 of Pax Arena in the sewer, and with Zoe, which is coming down to the sewer. And then you can really see it wouldn't be possible on paper, because the way we did it, it's really like a movies. You know, she's really coming to the reader without any panel close to one another. It's really one screen each time. So this is really, really different, and you can really bring much more tension that you could do on a paper. And even something else that you can do on Turbo Comics that you can't do on paper is to deconstruct an action. It's really like animation. You do it key pose, and it's much more difficult to do it on paper, and because you need to move on, while on the Turbo Comics you can do it far easier.
The thing is, between storyboard on paper and on digital, with this format, it's less about direction. It's really more about motion. It's not motion comics, but really it's print comics are always try to convey the direction. The important thing is the direction. It's not anymore on digital comics.
Right.
You can if you want to.
Right. But it's that static image that wants to portray motion.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Right. And now you actually have the benefit of giving your images motion, literal motion.
Yes.
There's no mirage. There's no imitation of image. You're literally moving the images.
And
so.
But it's not a motion comics. It's not. You right. know, it's not some.
The reader is in control.
Arted attempt to make an animated cartoon. It's just. I think it's done better. It's really, I don't know. Motion comics caused me headaches since. I just.
I understand. I mean, basically you're selling motion, you're selling Turbo Comics and this guided view to an old soul right here. And there's got to be listeners out there and viewers out there who are probably in the same situation that I am, that grew up on print comics and is just now dipping their toes into this water. And I'm really glad that you've taken some time to answer this old fogey's question, to talk me into what is the difference and what would make a digital comic experience better. Or different, you know, different in a good way.
Yeah, it's really two mediums. It's really two mediums. Yeah, they complete each other. You can really have two experiences when you read it digitally and on paper. I don't know if you had the chance to grab the Guardian of Galaxy copy that they made out of the Infinite Comics.
The single issues one, right?
Yeah. Did you have the chance?
I have not yet. I have not.
I have.
And so, what did you think of it?
I liked it. Especially, like you said, you get to control the movement, you know. With each page turn, you have sort of the static image that stays along with the different panels that come through the, you know, with each page, with each sort of swipe of your finger to keep it going. You know, like you said, move the panels back and forth and... It's like I said, it's different. Like I said, it's two different mediums, you know, two different reading experiences.
And you enjoy it both in the end. But and something which is great with Turbo Comics, and I think it's Quesada who said it, is that it's really when you read a Turbo Comics, you're really into the story. You don't look the drawings. You don't look the illustration, you know, and this is really more narrative because you don't know what comes next. So really, you're really more into the story, and this is something new. And we could see friends who were actually criticizing us because they said that they couldn't see my drawing because they were too much into the story, and they said, "Yeah, I wanted to look at your drawings, but the story, it brings so much tension, I couldn't stop myself." And so they were angry, you know, in a good way, because they were into the story rather than looking at illustration that you could do on a paper.
That's an interesting way to look at it. It's almost like they're waiting to flick or to click past.
Yeah, exactly.
Your art so fast because they want to get to the next panel.
Exactly.
It's more dramatic than a comic book. You know, it's pretty full of. You can really use suspense in a new way. So people are just, you know, they can't wait, because even if they have the power to stop and take the time and everything, they have to know it's something, you know, you can't have anymore on comic books, because, you know, first, you got spoiled like 2 months before.
Right.
So you don't have any more surprise when you check your comic. And that's something Marvel do, is they don't tell anybody about... They don't tell a lot about the story inside their Infinite Comics, inside Wolverine Japan Most Wanted. They don't tell anyone what's going to happen. You have to get the surprise. You don't get spoiled. You just read and okay, that happened. That am I surprised? Is it better? Does it have a better experience than it? That's one of the really strength of digital comics, Turbo Comics. It's really you can be surprised again. It's been a long time since you know. No. That's something I think that can make your money worth. You have the surprise. That's an emotion. That's good.
Now, you both mentioned the Guardians of the Galaxy, Infinite Comics. So you both worked in creating those, correct?
No, that was Balak. We did the storyboards. Every stuff we did for Marvel isn't out yet. It's going to be soon. Really soon, and we had really, really a lot of fun. We still have a lot of fun because there's still a bunch of things to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's it's fun because we can, it's characters that we grew up with, you know, and we can help to make people who doesn't get to go to comic shops, who just have their tablets and everything, to meet like these characters for maybe the first time. And so we feel we have to do a good work, because we don't want to be the guys who did Watchmen, the motion comics, for example. We want to do something new with this. So,
okay. So definitely we'll keep people posted on theclicknation.com whenever your books come out on Marvel's app and on Comixology, so they can go and purchase those and see your work.
I hope so.
Do you, oh, go ahead, Tim.
Ashley, you go ahead.
Well, my question is, I wanted to talk about the Kickstarter project, and I wanted to transition by asking, how does your experience doing these Marvel Infinite comic storyboards compare to doing Panda Show? How is it any different or similar?
Dove, do you want to answer?
It's really different because the thing is, working with Marvel is great, but we are working on their culture, and so we are really, and we don't work. We are doing the storyboards, not the stories, and so we are really. It's really a teamwork. While with the Panda Show, we can do whatever we want, and so it's really, really different. Different way of working, much more closer to Pax Arena, because it's really Mast and I, and working together and doing what we want, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So yeah, it's really different in terms of production, but it's the same fun of creating something and fun, and it's always. We love doing very different things, very various theme and stories. So this is enjoyable at the same level, but it's really different in terms of relationship with Mark Waid and with Marvel.
It's the thing is, even if it's parody, the Panda Show is a parody of. Everything from pop culture, geek culture, but with pandas. But even if it's a parody, it's still creator owned. We can still do whatever we want. Like for Pax Arena, Pax Arena is really different from the Panda Show, but it's still something we own. We own something we are free to do whatever we want to. That's something we really need. Because working for Marvel is great, it's awesome, but in the long term, we want to do our stories, our stuff, and whatever it is, even if it's for kids, or if we feel we can and we want to work on something, we don't want to say, okay, maybe we'll do it in 2 years or in 3 years. No, we're going to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we always did, and we continue to do.
Quick question: who does the primary? I don't even know if you can call it pencil work anymore. But who does the primary? Call it pencil work for now.
Yeah, storyboarding. You can say storyboarding. It's must actually. We do all the writing and the creative narrative part.
Right.
And then I'm the one who does the polishing stuff.
Okay.
And so
before, it's really, right. My question is actually, I guess, because I'm looking at some Pax Arena on Thrillbent right now. So yeah. I was kind of wondering who puts what is that called? The stylus. Who puts the stylus to the screen?
That's Geoff. What you see on the screen, right. The finished product, it's Geoff.
Gotcha.
It's very Geoff. Yeah. I do the writing on the storyboard with Balak, Yves Bijouel, and Geoff. So we are three on the storyboard, and Geoff is alone on the drawings. You can see.
It's very good. You guys, I literally just went through this, and this is excellent stuff.
Thank you.
So, you know, make sure to guide everyone to Thrillbent and these PAX Arena issues. And
it's free, so you can, you know, you can pay on the storefront if you want to support us, but you can have them DRM free. You just, you know, download them. You can torrent them. We put them online on WordPress forums and torrents ourselves because we want them to be, you know, everywhere. Everywhere we can, we want them to be. So
my follow-up question was going to be, kind of a two-part question tying both to the Marvel Infinite Comics and Thrillbent, and basically how did both, you know, companies find you and, you know, task you or, you know, ask you to work on projects for them?
That's all luck and work. Basically, it's luck and work. We met with Balak at a panel in France.
Mm-hmm. And Balak, is that a convention?
Just a panel on digital comics in Paris, outside of a convention. It's something really serious, you know, for technological people and this and so on.
Yeah.
But we met him there and we show him what we were working on at the time. He said, oh, okay, that's good. That's, you know, encouraging stuff and all. And a few months after, he just told us Mark Waid was looking for people to do digital comics the way we were doing them. So we pitched PAX Arena. And from then, we just did the first season. And we went in a convention in Leeds, in the United Kingdom. And Mark Waid was there, and Stephen Walker from Marvel was there as well. And we showed him PAX Arena, and a few months after, he told us that we could do, if we wanted, storyboards for Marvel Infinite Comics. So it was really luck, because each time it was like we only have 5 minutes, you know, before going somewhere else. And Balak, we were sitting across Balak, and we didn't know who he was. We knew who he was, but what he was looking, how he looked like, we didn't know. So when somebody during the panel said, Balak is here, okay, Balak is here. And Stephen Walker, we didn't know he was in Leeds. Stephen Walker is a senior editor at Marvel, and we didn't know, and just, you know, basically, it's like, okay, we have to take our train in 1 hour. Can we talk a few minutes? And just basically really a lot of luck and a lot of work after that to show that we can do the what we say.
I want the reason I asked that question is because, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, have aspirations of, you know, making it in the comic book industry, and they always want to know how a creator got their break. So I wanted people to hear your story too.
I'm a good friend with Gera. We did Sculpt, the best comics from the last 10 years. I don't know if you know the comic book. Sculpt is Vertigo stuff by Jason Aaron and him, and Aaron Gera. And he often says, what you need to get recognized is you have to do a lot of work online or whatever, write, draw, show that you can do comics books the professional way, and somebody eventually will notice that you can do stuff. So I think it's a good start to produce, show that you can do. If it's print comics, print your comics, you can do that now. You can just go online on lulu.com and print your own comics and go to conventions. So there's ways now to, you know, bring attention, exposure, I don't know, to you. You have to
do the hard work.
Grab them and do the hard work, yes.
And show yourself, because like Mas said, it's a lot of luck. But if we didn't go to that panel, to the digital panel, we would never have met Balak in the first place. So it's always hard work, and in the same time to go out to places where you have chances to meet people who would be on the market and would be interested in your stuff. And it's the same way with when we met Mark in Leeds. And it was really a great meeting. And when he said that there was Stephen Walker, it was in a way dumb luck. But if we didn't go to Leeds in the first place, we wouldn't have met Steve Walker and so on. So it's always work hard and show your work and go out and meet people on the market and do panels.
You have to move, because it's a solitary work, you know. You always at home, you don't move. You have Facebook, you have Twitter, but it's not enough. You have to meet people, show them, you know, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have fun as well. It's fun to meet people, so just go and...
Yeah.
You know, that's... We're coming to New York, to the New York Comic Convention in October.
Oh, awesome.
October. So we'll meet.
Dave will be there.
Yeah, I'll probably be there. That's awesome. I'll definitely touch base with you guys to see where you are.
So
cool. I had plans on going, but I think it's going to fall through. But
this is definitely in my backyard, so
yeah.
That's awesome. Will it be your first time in New York?
Yes.
Both of you? Wow. Yes. Well, get ready for a good time.
I'm jealous.
We heard the conventions are really, really... We saw pictures, obviously, but we heard it's really big, and we don't have... in France, it's mostly, you know, little conventions, like what we... 2,000 people, maybe, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people, not more. So we're really afraid of, you know, being... I suspect you can kill somebody in the during the convention. Nobody will notice.
Yeah, everyone's just busy. Everyone's concentrating on their own agenda.
We definitely have some pictures that I took, and one of the other co-hosts of Comic Book Chronicles took last year. Hosted. Tim can get you the link to the Cold Slither podcast. Page where we have pictures of my trip and Classic Materials trip to the New York Comic Con last year. So you can definitely see what kind of cosplays out there, what kind of crowds are out there. It's expanded. I've been to New York Comic Con every year since it started, and it's slowly but surely expanded to encompass basically the entire Jacob Javits Convention Center. And it's now, you know, it's a great big show. So hopefully, you know, you guys will have a lot of time. There's probably going to be some announcements, because they definitely save a couple of announcements for New York Comic Con. They're not all at San Diego. So did you guys go to San Diego, by the way?
No. We never went to the States before, so it's going to be our first time.
Wow.
We are excited, but also a bit scared, because, you know, it's the States. We have so lot of stuff. So we'll see.
It'll be a good time. Sure. You're definitely going to be surrounded by fans and fellow professionals. You know, the Marvel crew, especially, you know, knowing that you're coming from out of town, they're definitely going to take care of you. They're good people there. So, you know, in the boots. You know, they'll have you there, and especially on panels as well. So it's very well done. It's getting to be a very well done convention. Tim, did you want to start talking about their Kickstarter, or?
I know you mentioned it earlier.
Right.
I was going to ask also, like, you know, digital comics. I know that sort of the big thing now. It's not too big, but they're trying to, at least at Marvel, incorporate it a little more, is adding like sound to digital comics.
Oh.
I was going to ask if either one of you have even considered that before, or, you know, seen it done before.
No, we haven't actually, because the thing is we had a lot of discussion with Balak, who is a musician as well, and he really loves music, but the thing is with music, we do love music, but when you listen to music, you're passive. I don't know if it's a good term. And when you are reading, you are active. And so the thing is with the Chobo comics, it's really about the reader mastering what he's doing. And the music, when you're listening to music, you're taken by the music. So it's different level. And so far we refused to do music because it's way too complicated to find something good to balance with the Chobo comics. So no, we haven't done that so far.
All right, there's licensing issues too, probably with music. You know, if you're not creating it yourself.
Not if you find somebody. I'm guessing with internet, everything is possible for free. So, but the thing is, it's sound and music. It's a huge thing. You can't just, you know, just put some music here. You have to think things through. And I guess it's not for us. I would be happy to see people, you know, try and make maybe something really fine and great with it. But it's not for us. Not for us, no. Okay. The Project Gamma thing at Marvel.
Yeah, that's what I heard it from.
It seems different because it's really, you know, mood music. You know, it's not, it should be okay, I guess, because it's really, the music is created for the comic you're reading. So, but I don't know. I don't know if it's out yet, if you can already try it, but I will try it, but I don't know what to expect, really. That's
okay. Yeah, I was just curious because, like you said, I guess it was last year when the Project Gamma was announced at South by Southwest convention. Mm-hmm. But going to your Kickstarter now, let's see. So the Kickstarter is for the Pandas show, and it's a parodies with pandas. And it's a cross-media project of 13 digital comics, 13 games, one trade paperback in English and in French.
Exactly. That's, cross-media is really something fun to do because it can bring people back to comics. Because video games, maybe you can have fun with them and say, okay, there is a comic book as well. And slowly, I started to read comics with comics from the Batman animated series, you know.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
It was adapted in comics, and it was fun to read. But I started with that. Whatever you start comics with, as long as it excites you enough to keep reading other stuff, I think it's important to have that kind of comics you can find by. You buy a DVD collection of Spider-Man or Ultimate Spider-Man for the animated show, and you can have a free comic book with it. You can start reading comics that way. And with digital, it's really easy. Everybody can, you know, it's basically free. You have your video game. At the end, you have a link to read the comic. That's it. That's easy. That can make people read again, I think. Kids, I suppose it's the same problem in the United States, but in France, kids don't read anymore. They don't read a lot anymore. So,
yeah, it's the same problem here.
We don't have any more Harry Potter to get kids to read, so we have to find something new. That's something interesting with cross-media. Kickstarter, we didn't get the funds we were looking for Kickstarter. it was not funded. The good news is we got more people to read our stuff. So that's still, we had during the month, we did it for 1 month. Mm-hmm. During summer, so it's really one, the biggest mistake we did was launching our Kickstarter during summer. It was not a good idea at all.
How's launching in summer a bad idea?
It's everything goes slower. Even with our friends from press, and you know, everything really went slower. I used to do a comic convention in France, so I've had a lot of press contact, French press contact. Mm-hmm. They are basically friends, but it took like, you know, 4 or 5 days each time to get back to mails and everything. It's really, I really saw the difference, that it wasn't really the same thing at all.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's, I don't think it's easier to say now, but it wasn't a good idea to launch in summer. I guess if we waited to in September, maybe things would have been different. So
would you think about maybe launching it after New York Comic Con?
I don't know what we're going to do. We talked a bit with it about it with Jeff and the Panda team. Maybe we'll do two crowdfunding thing. I mean, we'll do one crowdfunding in France for the French part, and then do the digital comics in English and French, and after that do again a new Kickstarter, maybe in January or February for the English part, for the book in English. So maybe that's where we can concentrate, you know, just do the French readers first, and after American and international. Maybe we'll do that, maybe not. We have to talk more with Jeff.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't want to rush into, and you want to have it planned out.
I mean, we can launch maybe tomorrow. We will not. But the thing is, we just have to be sure of how we will do it, if we can do it, because I don't want to do because it will probably be Indiegogo if we go there. We don't want to launch something and not be able, if we succeed, to print the comics and send them.
Right.
It has something to be, you know, you have to plan the thing and be sure of what you're doing. Just don't be stupid and just put numbers and say, oh, maybe it will work or maybe not. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Right. I was looking at the cost breakdown, and you know, we were talking before the show went on air about some of the costs. And I was surprised to see how much the games production really cost.
We have certain games that I think it's even cheaper than what it can cost, because mostly it's the game designers are friends, so they didn't charge us too much. But it still costs money. It still costs time. So
sure.
You can, and we wanted to, you know, have them on computers, but also maybe, you know, do it on phones. So we weren't sure. But it's even cheaper than what it's supposed to be, actually.
Okay.
I mean, so it costs money.
Sure.
That was something we wanted to do, because the thing is with the Panda Show, we're doing we're working on Flash, so we can use our characters from Flash for the video games. So it's, we can save time that way, and you know, everything we make on Flash we can use on for the video games. So that's we couldn't do that with Pax Arena, for example, because it's too sophisticated. The drawings are not, you know, cartoony.
Right. So
it's really hard to do a video game with that. But a flash video game with the Panda Show, it's really not easy, but you can save time. So
it's manageable.
Yes.
You can manage that. I understand. Yeah. So what can you guys do? You've already touched on this. What can you do to spread the word about the project better? I mean, other than doing our show, which is reaching, you know, millions and millions out there.
I don't know. What we are going to do is, first, not launch on summer again. Mm-hmm. So that should right. help a bit. I mean, we did something called Pandavatar. It's a small software you can use to make your own avatar of pandas. It's free; everybody can use it. We are going to put it on Facebook when we're going to launch again the campaign. So we have a few ideas as well. You know, like doing small panels in, you know, humoristic panels. About the actuality, the news, the buzz, everything that buzz on the day, we are thinking of making like one picture a day, one little panel a day to maybe, you know, use the social network to spread the word of what the Panda Show can be, what, you know, what kind of humor is it's.
So, are you guys on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we're gonna have to mention their Twitter handles.
I'm about to mention them right now.
Alrighty.
So Mass Twitter is at
Jean Repriche. It's really hard to pronounce, I guess. It's Jean Repriche in French. I suppose you could pronounce it Jean Repriche. I don't know. It's pretty weird.
Their Twitter handles will be added to the website post.
Yes, we'll definitely post those.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You should create a Twitter handle just for the Panda Show.
We did.
Oh, okay.
At the Panda Show. That's it.
Excellent. So we'll definitely have that posted so that we can get our listeners and our viewers more information on the Panda Show, continuing information.
Because we're not going to stop it. I mean, we're going to continue and, you know, post new stuff and everything. We have something coming on Comixology, a Panda Show special episode. I don't know if you watch Doctor Who.
I've yet to see an episode.
I tried. I may try again. I'm late to Breaking Bad, so I may be late to Doctor Who also.
Yeah, I'm pretty late to shows too.
I can understand. So basically, it's a parody of Doctor Who. So it will be on Comixology soon enough. It's what's supposed to be during the Kickstarter, but when I said things get slower during summer, I mean really, really slower. So it will come soon enough. But, you know, Breaking Bad, we were supposed to do a video game, a parody of Breaking Bad with pandas. So I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad, so probably we'll do something with Breaking Bad.
Nice.
It will be fun.
All right. Well, I better finish watching. I better catch up. I only just finished watching season one the other day. So I've got to catch up. So don't spoil anything for me.
So in the end, he died.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, we don't know yet. There's only 7 episodes left.
Yes, right. 7, yes. Oh, God damn it. No, Breaking Bad is really, really good stuff. There's good stuff going to come up ahead. Where you are, season 3 and 4 are the best. So,
that's awesome. Looking forward to it.
Catch up.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to catch up before
What are you doing talking to me now? Just go watch Pokemon.
Just buy an iPad already.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's something else I have to do. I have to buy an iPad. You know, Jeffo, I had a question for you very quickly.
Yes.
Take it from someone that scribbles in a sketch pad all the time. Do you find yourself missing paper? And do you find yourself sort of saving money on art supplies? Like, you don't walk into a random art supply store and start buying everything because you feel like you're going to use it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But on the contrary, I don't see any people anymore. You know, no. So it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Sometimes.
It's a gift and a curse.
No, yeah, it's really working digitally is really, really interesting. I really love paper and any chance I can, I try to do some paper things, but. With the rush we have at Marvel and at the Panda Show and everything, working digitally is much more easier to correct drawings and so yeah, it is really great to work digitally, but I really really love the paper and like the Chobo comics and the print comics. It's two experiences. And I love them both, so it's not that I enjoy more one or another, but the thing is, yeah, doing digital is allow me to be quicker and to have a fast result.
So okay, go ahead.
So for the production, it's quicker to work digitally, but for the pleasure, it's better to play on both sides.
Jeffo, would you characterize your art on paper as more detailed than it is in digital?
No, actually not.
It's roughly the same?
No, it's or maybe it's even the contrary.
Oh, okay.
Since it's easier to erase a line or stuff like that on the computer, I can bring much more details into it. But sometimes I would spend 5 hours on the digital drawing, while on paper I would have done it in 2 hours, because on the computer I can try stuff and erase, create new layer and so on. So no, actually no, it's not much more detailed.
Interesting.
It's different. It's very different.
Interesting. Well, take it from me, you know, I'm sorry to get so specific on the art, but you know, I feel like, you know, this is definitely the next step in the evolution of comic book art, and you know, soon everyone's going to have a Wacom tablet and a stylus and drawing away on that and not producing any eraser shavings or anything like that, It's you know, I'm sorry to kind of dwell on this, but I'm really interested in how it's affected your production. And it sounds like it's made it just as, you know, it probably takes just as long if you were doing this on paper.
Well, with digitally again, you can be quicker. You can be quicker with the digital stuff because you, for instance, you don't need to ink stuff. When I draw, it's final, so it's both pencil and ink at the same time. So you can gain time, but the feeling will be very different. And in terms of production, yeah, it's great. And again, working for Marvel or even Pax Arena, which we did around 2 weeks per episode to draw an episode. So, in terms of production, yeah, it's faster, but then it's not the same experience. And as an artist, it's really, I love paper and the feeling is really different. But it all depends on why you are drawing. So, yeah, for when it's production, it's very nice to do it on digitally, but if it's for you or more illustration, I think it's better on paper.
I see.
I was going to ask also, you know, are you both just self-taught or did you
attend classes or any type of courses to learn what you've learned?
No, I did a movie school for writing, but didn't do anything for the drawing. So it's a self-taught and Jeff.
And I actually did an animation school. Before that, I drew a lot, and I knew Jean-Louis before that. But I did.
And my real name. Oh.
Must Jean-Louis. Yeah, because Jean-Louis is really French, you know. So Must is really American. So Jean-Louis is. I think it's much more friendlier, you know. And I did an animation school, and it really I really learned about softwares and patience, because animation is so much longer than doing comic books. And I learned a few things at school, but the main drawings are self-taught.
Okay. Oh, all right. Interesting, because you know, it's always curious if someone's just self-taught or did they, you know, receive formal training. It's good to learn the background.
Yeah, and the thing is, there really no right or wrong answer. It all depends on the way you can push your limits. And when I did this animation school, I saw that I needed it, because I needed a teacher behind me to push me harder to learn perspective and anatomy, and because I had some basis, but not I really needed someone to push me harder into this. So I really loved my animation school, and but some guys wouldn't need a teacher behind them, and they would do it all by themselves. For instance, you got, I think it's Carlos Pacheco, who is self-taught, and when you can see his art, it's brilliant, it's lovely. Yeah. So
and George Perez is self-taught too, if you can believe that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be self-taught one day.
same here. So, oh wow, this has been really, really informative. Do you guys both do well? Mast is probably talking to us from
Jean-Louis.
No, Mast.
Come on.
Hey. Like there's not 5 million Jean-Louis in all of France, right? So it doesn't really matter if he's working on a Mac or not, because apparently all of comic book professionals, you know, it seems like everyone works on a Mac. So, Jafo, do you work on a Mac as well?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No, it's Windows.
Oh, interesting.
So do you, neither one of you, I know Agent 70 mentioned how you pronounce it, Wacom tablet?
Wacom, right.
Wacom. Do either one of you use that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same word in Wacom, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it's easier. So it's not easier. It's
more convenient.
It suits what we work on digital. So if we can do everything on digital, sure, it's better. It's not better because for the original art, because we can't sell them anymore because we don't have original art.
Right, you basically hit on probably what's keeping a lot of current artists from really switching.
I think so. It's because, even for people who are not very known like us, it's still money that we can, in conventions, we sell a lot of original art, but from like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And now we are doing only digital, mostly.
Right. What ends up happening is that you end up creating prints.
Yes, or you do commissioning. So
right. So,
but you know, I know people just want original. Some people just want original art, and since we don't have, so they just look at us like, that's not going to work
because
I need my original art.
Yeah, there's definitely a collector's market for that as well. Mm.
Yes. I don't understand really, because they can have, original stuff from us commissioning, But they don't. Some people, not everyone, but some people just want original art. That's it. I don't understand really why, you know.
It's just a different collector's market. You know, if, like, I don't know how many comic book conventions you've gone to, but, you know, original art has gone, you know, exploded in the mid 90s, where, you know, especially when the comic book industry and the market itself was, you know, kind of under that speculation boom. And, you know, original art became another hot commodity. It became something else to collect. Something else for these people to invest in. So, you know, and especially since it's a one of a kind, they think, oh, you know, if this person gets really big and famous, it'll become even more valuable. So that's really where the draw for original art really comes from.
I just
wanted to say that that's really, it's developed from that, and the marketplace, you know, is still really big for original art. So, you know, it's a niche market. It's a niche market. It's a small market because it's expensive. You know, so, but, you know, like you said, it's hard in the digital world to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's just something that I don't understand because I don't know. It's something else. So.
Right.
It's.
All right. So I guess
we both still collect comics. How about that? Like print comics. Do either of you collect print comics?
That was going to be my next question, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, what are some of the books you're currently reading and enjoying? Oh,
there you go.
That's Batman from this week.
Captain America.
Oh, that's the old Mark Waid, Man Without a Country.
Yes.
Mark Waid and Ron Garney. That's great stuff.
Is it just me or the picture is reverse?
We can see it fine.
Okay, that's strange. I don't know my computer is.
Oh yeah, on Google Plus, like you can. I think you have the option to like flip your screen so you can see it.
Okay.
As we see it.
Yeah, as we see it.
Okay, that as long as you see it. Yes, yeah. We still collect. I know Joffo too. So, we bought less than before because we buy a lot of comics and Comixology. So it's not. I think I buy more trade paperbacks now than back issues and just.
Trades definitely make it more convenient to get caught up.
Right. And what are you guys reading currently? Like of the current batch, I saw Batman. Anything else?
Jupiter's Legacy of Children. I never know. Is it changed the name? So. It's Mark Millar and Frank Whiteley book.
Right, Jupiter's Legacy.
Legacy,
okay. So I read that.
Okay, stuff, of course.
Okay, yes, okay. Daredevil, I don't know.
Daredevil.
Yeah. The Hulk.
Batman and Robin.
All Mark Waid stuff.
Yeah.
And then, because he's our father, so.
No kidding.
That's great. Yeah.
Mark Waid is very cool. I've met him a couple times at a convention, and he's very, very cool.
I actually got
lucky enough at the last New York Comic Con. I walked right up to his table. There was no one in front of me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was very weird. You know, half an hour later, I swung back around, you know, going back in another direction, and there was a line 10, 15 people deep. So I just got lucky and happened to walk right up to him and talk to him for a couple of minutes. I actually got him to sign a couple of those issues that are in that collected edition, that trade paperback, Man Without a Country.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm definitely glad that you guys have a godfather father in American comics like Mark Waid. He's definitely good people.
And a great writer as well. Even when he wasn't our godfather, we already loved his work, for real.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's really a pleasure to read his stuff.
No, he's really somebody, you know, you have to know him. I found that comics, even if it doesn't seem so right now, because in DC Comics is not going really well with artists right now, but people are really human, you know, it's really, you know, an industry where you can, you know, have relationships with people, and they bring you, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of knowledge, and I don't know, it's not like just working at McDonald's or something. I've done both, and you know, I think comics are more rewarding, you know.
Definitely.
Are comics your main source of income right now?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. Not a lot, but yes.
That's great.
I
was going to mention Giafo has we were talking about Daredevil, he has Bullseye as his avatar picture up on the screen, so keeping with that theme.
It's a drawing I made for Mast for his convention actually that he was doing a couple of years back, and so we were doing lithography, and so I did this one, and I had the chance to offer one to Mark Wade as well back in Leeds, and when at that time he told us that Bullseye was actually one of the big enemy of his storyline, and so that was great to offer it to him.
That book, that issue came out, I guess, a couple of months ago.
26, I think.
Yeah.
It was a great issue.
Or the big reveal.
Yeah.
That was fun. I was angry a bit because I didn't want to know, you know?
You want to find out like everyone else.
I like spoilers, but I don't like them as well, you know? I can't resist to them. I mean, every day I'm on Bleeding Cool. I'm just Bleeding Cool all the
me
day.
Too. That's but where I I was going to say, when I do the news segments on the show, a lot of it I'll get from Bleeding Cool.
Everybody goes to be, you know.
Right.
I'm sure half of the people don't like it because it's just spoiled so much. You're just spoiled. It's just too much. So, but you can't resist. You can't. You have to. Okay. Oh, Batgirl died already. Oh, I don't read Batgirl, but that's no. Thank you.
All right. Unless, were there any other questions that you had?
No, I'm good. You know what? This has been a really informative and a great time with you two, because
thank you.
I think you've really swayed me and my thinking towards experimenting with digital some more, you know, and just beyond and going beyond, you know, what Marvel and DC are trying to get me to read, which is print comics just on the screen, you know, to try something different and to try, you know, this other stuff. So I'm definitely intrigued, and I think I'm going to start diving into that. And maybe Christmas time, I'll get an iPad.
Hey, you can even start off with the mini.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you can go to, on Tribent and a lot of websites where digital comics are free, so you don't even have to pay for them. So that's kind of cool as well.
Sure.
What I want to say just before we stop is just thank you and sorry for our bad French accent.
For his bad French accent. No. For his. Oh, don't leave.
I hate you. It's the last time I work with you. That's
okay. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for your time and this opportunity to express ourselves about the digital comics, and because this is really new and so yet it's not yet it's a brand new medium, so we need to spread the word. So thank you for giving us some time to do it.
Maybe once the secret Marvel Infinite projects you're working on are finally revealed, we can have you back on to talk about them some more.
Yeah, it would be lovely. Great pleasure. Yeah,
yeah, there will be more.
We'll be there.
To be
we'll be back.
Yeah, to be continued.
To be continued.
So before we do end, I'll give out some website links where you can go and find their work. Of course, it's all on thrillbent.com, but Pat Serena is at thrillbent.com/comics/Pat-Arena. The Walking Pandas is at thrillbent.com/comics/the-walking-pandas. And the Pandas show is at thrillbent.com/comics/the-pandas-show. And I'll have both their Twitter accounts up on the main page.
And the Panda show account.
What was that?
I said, and the Panda Show account.
Oh, yeah, and the Panda Show account. They'll all be on the main post at theclicknation.com, of course, is the website. And I guess I'm making sure I haven't missed anything. Yeah, I think we've touched upon everything we wanted to touch upon.
Very good. So, thank you. Merci.
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 Yeah,
merci.
Thank you for joining us.
My high school French is coming in handy.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's good. Agent 70 was on since he actually knows some French. See, you're good for something besides those sound effects.
That's right.
And on that note, again, many thanks to Mast and Giaffo for joining us.
Thank you.
And of course, Agent 70 for being on with me. So. Of course, this is part one of this week's Comic Book Chronicles. In part two, which will air tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on theclicknation.com, Agent 70 will be back on with me, and we'll pick up with this week's comic book news, and we'll do our normal comic book reviewing of the books for this week. So again, that's tomorrow, Friday, August 16th, 2013, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, and we will see y'all tomorrow.
Peace.
Bye.
Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.